Good morning and welcome to The White Way, a public service radio program of the Mu'ili'ili Honganji. Mu'ili'ili Honganji is a Jodo Shinshu Buddhist temple located at 902 University Avenue. Reverend Toshiyuki Umitani and our members invite you to join us at temple services and activities. If you go to our internet website at www.mu'ili'ilihonganji.org, you will find a map of our location and some information about our temple and activities. This morning's broadcast is sponsored by Mrs. Edith Noriko Horii in memory of her husband Hideo and son Jason Horii. Our speaker this morning is Mrs. Julia Kono Lee. Good morning, Mrs. Lee.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Juliet Lee, your speaker today. Despite the hardships we've been facing, I've been thankful for the wonderful and caring people here in Hawaii. This moment has also opened an avenue for people to reflect on their lives and surroundings. Before proceeding, I wish to thank the White Way Broadcast Program for the privilege of speaking to you, and I thank you all for listening. In mid-March, I was invited to teach a few classes at a school in Brooklyn. During our week's stay in New York, my husband and I were also planning to see a couple of Broadway shows and had everything set, our hotel, show tickets, restaurant reservations. Of course, we had heard about the virus, but we were not overly concerned. I was more focused on textbooks and lesson plans. For people from Hawaii like my husband and me, New York City seemed cold, the temperatures in the low 40s. So we packed gloves and head coverings. But as it was told to us at the time, it was not necessary to wear face masks. Nevertheless, I felt we should get something to cover our faces. I bought dipsies, mask-like coverings used by skiers and people living in cold climates. I also packed hand sanitizers and disinfectant wipes. Family and friends began calling us to stay home. My girlfriend, upset, said, "Are you crazy?" Once at the airport, we saw that not many people were around, the passenger lines short. When on the airplane, we sanitized everything around us. Even the floor got swiped with disinfectant wipes. Everything around where my husband and I sat, I cleaned. I was obsessive, but I offered no apologies. News of the COVID virus was all around us. By the time we had reached New York City, we had learned more and more about the disease, and everything we learned gave us the heebie-jeebies. What had my husband and I done? We arrived early in the morning at our hotel. No one seemed to be around. The streets deserted, the hotel quiet, and also deserted, except for the desk clerk who checked us in. We were leery about wandering around. By the next morning, we heard that New Rochelle up north was being locked down. To keep safe, we didn't go out of our room except for meals at Starbucks or Shake Shack eateries around the corner of our hotel. I was beginning to get scared. We refused room service and asked for towels and amenities. We hardly left our room. On the third day, we made a reconnaissance of the area in Brooklyn where I was scheduled to teach. Out on the streets and in the subways, people were still not wearing masks. We used our dipsies to cover our noses and mouths whenever we went out. Nevertheless, the next day I went ahead with my obligation and taught 3 classes at New Utrecht High School. Everything went well, and soon my husband and I left Brooklyn to go back to our hotel. By that time, New York had become a ghost town. That evening, Governor Cuomo announced the closure of the city. We quickly changed our flight and left New York for Hawaii the next day. Once we reached home, we noticed that it was much cooler this April than we had anticipated, which was very nice. We then locked up and went into voluntary isolation. While we had been gone only a week, I began to think that we could have caught the virus and died, my husband and I in the most vulnerable age group. I realized I had been foolish in taking a chance. I should have canceled my teaching engagement. We were nonetheless lucky to be back in Hawaii. Honolulu itself was shutting down because of the virus. There were very few cars on the road, a pleasant result of the lockdown, and I noticed most people were wearing face masks. We followed the news closely. After 2 weeks, until the end of March, having no COVID symptoms, we felt safe that we would not be harming ourselves and others, which meant that we could now go out to shop for needed essentials. This took us into the beginning of April. April remained on the chilly side. The weather was absolutely beautiful and wonderful, sunny and cool. This beautiful weather continued into May, but by June, of course, it began to get much warmer, then hotter, and soon we were in the thick of summer. Just before summer, however, I noticed some interesting things during the lockdown. Maybe you had noticed it too. For one thing, the air was cleaner and clearer. The ocean water also looked beautiful, the green of the ocean greener and the blues of the ocean bluer. Flowering hedges and trees also began to bloom all around us. The yellow bignonia trees turned brilliant yellow in early June. The shower trees grew heavy with the light yellow and pink flowering of their branches. Crepe myrtle trees stained the hours with their pink and purple flowers, and of course, lately, brilliant red and orange flowers have brightened the poinciana trees. Recently, I went for a walk in Manoa, and every time I came across a tree laden with beautiful flowers, I had this wonderful aha moment that took my breath away. I'm sure many of you have felt this way when you had seen some beautiful scenery before you, where an overwhelming appreciation for everything, a feeling of extreme exaltation and happiness for all things in life had suddenly come upon you. Many years ago, the late Reverend Toshio Murakami said that if you saw or experienced something so wonderful that it gave you a sudden feeling of serenity and beautiful, he considered this to be a one-thought moment, a moment of entrustment in the compassion of the Buddha who embraces even us in our foolish moments. In other words, as Renyo had said, where the mind of Buddha and the mind of the foolish being become one, there is the practicer of Shinjin. Let us all be practicers of Shinjin. In my case, despite a foolish journey by my foolish self, I was able to experience Shinjin when I returned to Hawaii. Through the flowers all around me and through their beauty, I have encountered the gift of Shinjin, of entrustment in the Buddha's wisdom. Everyone, please keep well and keep safe. Wear your masks and don't forget to wash your hands frequently. Take care. Namo Amida Butsu, Namo Amida Butsu, Namo Amida Butsu.
Thank you, Mrs. Lee, for your Dharma message. To re-listen to the message, please check our website at www.moiliilihonganji.org. Tomorrow, Sunday, July 26th, the speaker at our 9 a.m. in-person and Zoom service will be Sho Yasunaga of Muili Ili Honganji. As we come to the close of our program this morning, we would like to thank our sponsor, Mrs. Edith Noriko Horii, and our speaker, Mrs. Julia Konuli. We thank you for listening and invite you to join us next week when our speaker will be Reverend Sean Yagi of Aea Honganji. Namo Amida Butsu. Oh,